Glad to see so many out tonight to continue to worship God and to look into another thought for us this evening. It'll be a fairly short thought, but hopefully one that will be an encouragement to us this evening. We'll be talking about happiness. So I'm going to start with a short story. The sun was beginning to dip behind the horizon, painting the sky in strokes of burnt orange and soft violet, and a weary traveler stumbled upon an old man sitting in his garden. The man was simply sitting on a wooden bench, watching the shadows begin to start, and a faint smile etched across his face. The traveler, exhausted from years of chasing success and wealth and the constant hum of something more, stopped and asked, "Sir, I've traveled the world, searching for the secret to happiness, and pursued these grand achievements, and acquired many things, and yet a moment when I catch a glimpse of joy, it seems like it vanishes. Tell me, what's your secret?" The old man didn't look up immediately. He just pointed to a small stone at his feet and said, "Do you see the stone? It's been here for years. It doesn't try to be a mountain. It doesn't apologize for not being a diamond. It's simply doing what it can. It has no desire to be anything else than what it was simply created to be." And he looked up at the traveler, and his eyes twinkled and said, "You see, my friend, you've been trying to build a castle your whole life when all you really needed to do was be like this stone." I think we often treat happiness sort of like a destination, a peak to be climbed or a trophy to be obtained. We convince ourselves we have to try to reach that next milestone. So if we do that, or if we secure that promotion, or we try to fill that whatever empty space it is in our lives, maybe it's, you know, I need that husband or that wife, or I need that promotion, or I need that whatever it is. We try to fill that in our lives, and we think if we can just get that, then we'll be happy. But as we look in the life of faith, we realize that happiness isn't like that. And we can only find true happiness in Christ. And it's a byproduct of living for Christ as we should, when we can obtain that happiness and we can look forward to a reward once this life is over. So tonight I want to talk to you about a little bit of the difference between maybe the fleeting pleasures of the world that's promised by the world, and compare that to the enduring and profound happiness and joy that we can find in God. A joy that doesn't depend on our life circumstances or our wealth or, again, our carnal achievements, but instead just on spiritual status. And tonight we're also going to look at some thoughts on why you should be happy as a Christian. We'll look over some of life's situations and being content, and how God is with us and helps us, and how our ultimate happiness can come with the gift of salvation. And last but not least, we're also going to be looking at a few songs. And we'll read through the songs and kind of think of those songs in our mind. And then as we sing those songs in the future, maybe we'll think back on this lesson and think about how that happiness we can have in Christ is still with us. So, let's dive in. First off, we're going to be talking about being happy with life situations. And the song that comes to mind for me for this is song number 251, "I'm Happy Today." It says, "I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today. In Jesus Christ, I'm happy today because he's taken all my sins away." And then it talks about how we're singing and praying and living and being happy because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And again, that's really the ultimate conclusion to this lesson. But the one I think about when I think about this particular topic. Happiness is defined as the state of having pleasure or contentment, being satisfied or being cheerful. And I think that's what most of us can think about when we think about happiness. But sometimes we might get on the track where if I'm following God and I'm not being happy, then something might be amiss. So let's look at a few verses on this. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And then also in James chapter 1, if you would turn with me there. I'm also going to try to get there in my new Bible. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So I think sometimes in hard times and with God's help, it can make us stronger, just as fire tempers steel and removes the impurities and builds it up and makes it better. But we can also see throughout these verses that we're not going to always have it easy either. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have some persecutions. We're going to have some hardness in our life that's not going to make this life perfectly pleasant. But there's some things we're going to have to do, and there's some things we're going to have to endure. And then by enduring those things, we will become stronger in the end because of it. Let's continue reading in Romans chapter 5. Turn a few books back. And in Romans chapter 5, we'll begin reading with the first five verses. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through whom we also have obtained access into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of our God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So I don't think not every day is going to be a good day. Life and circumstances do not play out as we want, but it's something that we all face. It's something we have to understand and acknowledge and be prepared to overcome, knowing that the next day is going to be better. As it says here, it's going to be maybe a trickle effect, where we add one thing to our life and then something else is going to happen. That suffering is going to produce endurance, and from that endurance is going to produce character. And then from that character, then we can have hope. So again, it's going to be better and better as life goes on. Maybe not physically, but definitely spiritually. Matthew 5:45 says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, who makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So happiness is not always the absence of sorrow or grief either. If you look at Christ and his example, that Jesus was a man of sorrows. We sang that song this morning. He was acquainted with grief. That's from Isaiah 53. Yet Hebrews 1:8-9 tells us that he was anointed with the oil of gladness, more so than his companions. And I think the reason Jesus was happy and he did have that that sense about him was because he saw the bigger picture. He understood the bigger picture. He loved righteousness and he hated lawlessness. And because of those things, he was focused on the spiritual matters and not on the things of this earth. He still had it rough. He still had issues in the garden where he was. Or he was sweating drops of blood because of the grief that was about to happen to him. But nonetheless, he saw that bigger picture, and he was happy nonetheless. Happy to do the will of God. So for us, if we see the bigger picture, I think we can have that same love for righteousness and the same hatred for sin that Jesus had, and then that will help us have a state of happiness as well. Psalm 68:3 says, let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, and let them rejoice exceedingly. So really, in summary of all those verses is, be happy. Be happy in knowing that the troubles on this earth is temporary, but and they will also produce endurance in our lives. Life can get hard. And I think if we remember to sing, to pray, and live as we should, and be happy to be alive, that we can have, and to be happy that we have what we do have. Our next reading will be number 326, Trust and Obey. Again, another familiar song. This song says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a burden we bear or a sorrow we share, but our toil he does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss or a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. We never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do and where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. So I think another aspect of being happy for us can be trusting in God. We have to trust in God's power and in God's grace and in his desire to save us and take us home to be with him. We have to learn to take our sorrows and our burdens and all of our issues to God and not just sit on them and let them eat away at us if we have problems in our lives. Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares about you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here we begin. We see that God does not say we're not going to suffer, but instead tells us we will. However, it's something that we'll be able to endure, and it's not something that we will have to endure alone. We can pray to God, we can talk with him about our worries, about our hardships, about our shortcomings, and we are told it'll be only a little while that we will have to suffer through those things. Life is short, and these hardships won't last forever. And I think sometimes we have to change perspective from this fractional percentage of our existence of what it is, and focus again on the large, that is the eternity. And I think that alone can help us to endure. It also says in here that we can lean on our brethren and the fact that they also are going through similar sufferings. You know, it's not like we alone are doing something and having to go through something that no one else has went through. Maybe it's something that we need to take to our brothers and talk with them about, and then they can share their stories too and be an encouragement to each other. Nonetheless, striving together with our brethren will also help us endure those sufferings. Questions sometimes comes up that people ask too is, does God know that we even suffer, and does he even care? Psalm 56:8 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in a bottle, and you have recorded each one in your book. So yeah, I think God knows. He knows all things, and he understands what we go through. Just as Jesus understands what we all went through as well. He lived upon this earth and endured many of the same things that we endure, and had to endure much more on the sake of the cross. Now look with me over in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse 34. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. And going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible that the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, but yet not what I will, but what your will be done. And then Luke 22:44 also adds this. And being in agony, he prayed even more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood before falling to the ground. So here we have these two stories of Jesus in the garden as he's praying right before he's about to be captured. And I would have to say that Jesus had it pretty hard here. He's going through a lot mentally and about to be going through a lot physically and a lot spiritually. So I think, yes, we have it hard, but compared to others, and especially compared to Christ's suffering here in this garden and upon the cross, we probably have to put some things into perspective. We have to put things into perspective that, yes, things on this life are hard, but when compared to Christ, it's almost nothing. Christ had to endure the physical, the mental, the spiritual, all of those different types of anguish in the garden and upon the cross. So whenever we're maybe down a little bit, we can focus upon Christ. We can focus upon Christ and his example and his life and what he went through, and then maybe put ours into a little more perspective. So remember to be happy, because God understands what we go through, the desires we have, God desires to have a relationship with us and through us through prayer, so that we can bring our cares to him. We can cast those burdens upon him and know that he understands those, because he also went through those with his son. And ultimately, we can have heaven to look forward to as well. The final song to look at is Psalm 214. 214, No Tears in Heaven. This reads, No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, and all will be gladness when we shall join the happy band. Glory is waiting and waiting up yonder, where we all spend an endless day. There with our Savior will be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder, or this life has been brought to view, and all will be clearer, because the saved ones be dearer, in heaven, where all will be made new. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. A beautiful song, and one that we can use to comfort us as well. I know we've all felt loss. We've felt the dragging down by things in this life and the sufferings here. And I think this song and maybe this final point and idea for us can be an encouragement. To know that we have a great reward at the end of our life when we complete our endurance of life here. One particular book on philosophy had this kind of interesting thing to say. It says that there are peaks and valleys. If a peak is there, a valley is bound to be. And the valley and peak are not against each other, they are part of the same. If you reject the valley, you accept the peak, and you will be miserable. Because wherever a peak is, there will be a valley. And the higher the peak, the deeper the valley may be. So if you love Everest, then you will have to love the valleys also. Happiness is like a peak, and unhappiness is like a valley. I think the idea in that is that there's going to be some highs in this life, but there's also going to be some lows in this life. So again, we have to put them in perspective. Likely everything upon we're living in this earth might be that valley where we have it really rough, but we have to focus upon that peak. We have to know that things will be better after this life is over. So maybe the question is, are you happy today? And if not, why not? Is there something that might be weighing you down, or something on your mind, something that might be uneasy or unpleasant in this life? I think we can be happy in life knowing that that peak is coming. And as it says here, you know, there will be no tears in heaven. It'll be something we can look forward to. And heaven ultimately will be worth all. I guess we could read that one as well. Think of that one. I'd like us to focus and think about taking this life as a short time in which we will endure hardships, because it is only a short time. What matters is how we live in this life, that way we can enter the joy of our Lord. Look with me back in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll read the first 12 verses here. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise, what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifice and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they die. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go, eat with gladness and drink with a joyful heart, for God has already approved you. Be clothed in white and anoint your head with oil, and enjoy life with your wife whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and is your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you're going, there is neither working nor planning or knowledge or wisdom. I have seen something under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times. They will fall unexpectedly on them. So I think in summary there, we could say that evil happens to some, or good, both good and bad, happen to all. It falls on some men at some point to have good times, and it falls on men at some point to have bad times. It's just a fact of life. But for the saved, there's a difference. We all share a common destiny in death. So for now, enjoy what you can while you're on this earth. But do so in wisdom and faithfulness, as only the righteous will obtain happiness in their Lord when all the toils end here. And the whole reason for that is in Revelation in chapter 21. Let's turn there as we read our final set of verses. Revelation 21. And here we'll read down through verse 7, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had ceased to exist, and the sea existed no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, make ready like a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, and the residence of God is among human beings. He will live among them, and they will be his people. And God will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will no longer exist, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the former things will cease to exist. And the one seated on the throne said, Look, I am making things anew. And he said to me, Write it down, because these words are reliable and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who is thirsty, I will give water free of charge from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. So I think in the end, all negatives will cease. All pains and all sorrows and all anxieties and all sadness and all evil will be gone for those in heaven. And it will be a place of constant happiness and contentment and holiness, because we'll be there in the presence of God. And I think that's a place where we will all want to be, because then again, we won't have to deal with all these things in life. And again, if we think we have it rough here on earth, if we fail to miss heaven, we're probably going to have it a whole lot worse in hell. Hopefully these thoughts will help us through maybe some tough times we might be going through. Again, putting into perspective and remembering that this life is short, that God is going to be with us, and we can talk to God and bring our worries and cares to him, and that ultimately heaven will be worth it all. But if you are unhappy, if there's things in your life that you need to address, feel free to reach out to someone. Reach out to me, and we can talk it over. I know that depression and other difficulties in life can make things difficult. And sometimes, again, we want to bottle it up and not talk to others about it. And we don't want to talk to God about it because we just want to deal with it on our own. But talk to God about it at least. But also reach out to someone else and talk about it too. Again, likely we've went through similar things, and it would be an encouragement to us to talk with you on it. We all have the same goal, so let's help each other to get happy, get to the Lord's work, and keep in mind the glory of heaven as we go throughout this week. If you've not yet put on Christ, we encourage you to do so. Encourage you to do so by hearing God's word and obeying it through repentance and confession and baptism, and that time is for you. Or if you have done those things and you have been, again, in need of some help in some way, you've sinned, you need the prayers of the congregation or need help in any way, we're also happy at this time to address that if you need it. Whatever you need, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.